was a pastor's kid, and I'd stay at like church till like midnight, and I meet a bunch of people where I don't even know who they are. And I always had to be what people wanted me to be. And I always felt like I wasn't that pretty because guys would never like me, and whenever they did, they wouldn't last long. They would stop talking to me suddenly, and then things would just happen. And it wasn't until like a couple months left of school, and I really started to get down and depressed, and I would cut myself on my wrists, my arms, my legs, my hips, and I just couldn't stop doing it. And there was one night I sat alone in the kitchen. I had a handful of pills, and I was gonna do it. But then I wanted a change, and camp's coming up. I could just get a change there. And I've always gone to camp in the previous times, and it's never really worked for me. I mean, I would cry here because other people would cry, and I would cry because, I don't know, it just felt like the right thing to do. And it wasn't until this camp when I just, every night I cried. I just couldn't stop crying. And like, I felt like everything that I wanted to feel just I felt it then. I fell, and my hands were tingly, and I felt like everything was going to be okay, and everything was going to start working out because I finally felt what I had wanted to feel. And I know that my friends aren't going to leave me, and they'll love me for who I really am, even if I'm weird and I do weird stuff. And I don't have to care what people think about me. I don't have to be the best, because I'm best in God's eyes.
Thank you, Daisy. You are wonderful. Wonderful. Is there anybody else? Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Get up here, Alyssa. Get over here. Get over here. All these girls, where are the dudes at? Where are all the gentlemen at?
I grew up in a Christian home my whole life, and I feel my dad plays piano for the church, for the Spanish ministry, and as soon as you were someone's kid that's in church, you automatically feel the need to prove yourself worthy to yourself, to your family, to God. And you know, I was there and I was like, just take it. I don't want to live like this, you know? I don't want to live in the shadow of my father. I don't want to feel that pain every day. And God was showing me, he's like, just stop. Just stop. You know, you're like, I've always heard you're awesome, you're amazing, God loves you, but I've never believed it. Like, why would God love me? I'm a nobody. Like, why would God want me? Why would he care about me? And he's just like, stop, just stop, because you're never going to prove yourself worthy, because you're not worthy, but I still love you. And she's like, if you guys feel like you need to prove yourself, don't. Because at the end of the day, we're never going to be worthy. We're never going to be worthy of his love, of his grace, of his mercy. Because of his love, though, he loves us, even though we're not worthy of his love. And God just, like, don't live like that, you know? Like, just love. Like, you're amazing. You're awesome. Like, don't live like that. You know, don't live in fear. Don't live in rejection. Don't live in peer pressure, you know, like, just live for me, you know, like, don't live like that. So God showed me, don't live like how I was living. So I'm new because of Jesus.
All right, now I'm getting all these people put their hands up. Still no dudes though. Mrs. Zura, do you have something you would like to share? I know it's been a big weekend, so get up here, kid. What is it you'd like to share?
So, when I went up to camp, I was, like, kind of, I was excited, but I wasn't, like, I don't know, I was not as excited as I should be, I guess. the first night at camp, I cried. I was crying really bad because I just, for a little bit, I just never felt like anybody loved me. For me, I felt like I had to hide behind these masks and always make everybody laugh because I wasn't happy inside. I wasn't happy. I feel like I had to make myself good enough for people. And the second night at camp, when Erica started singing Break Every Chain, I lost it because there were so many chains that were dropped I didn't even know about. And for the longest time, I always let what people thought of me determine how I lived and what I did. And started seventh grade, I used to get fat jokes, ugly jokes, black jokes. I went through depression for 3 years. And that night, that Saturday night, that chain was gone. I was no longer depressed. I was happy the way God made me, and I didn't have to put on a mask because God loves me for me, and that's all that matters. And if you don't love yourself because of what somebody said or because of something you think about yourself, you're wrong, because God made you in His image for a reason. You're here for a reason. You always will be. Don't ever think anything different.
All right. I guess I'll get you, but I don't know where these dudes are. They're like not even stepping up. All right, here, let me come on, Miss Katie.
Okay. So, I guess I'll start from just living in my childhood, I guess. I'm not gonna lie, like, I had a pretty good childhood. Like, I had the perfect family. Like, everyone came to church. My dad, like, used to do security here, and it was just, like, I was living life, and it was good. And then, like, just randomly, like, I hear, like, screaming in my house and, like, crying and stuff, and I'm like, what the heck? So I wake up, and this is when I was, like, 9 or 10 or around that, or, like, around that age. And so I go downstairs, and I don't know, my mom's just like, oh, like, your dad got arrested. And it's just, like, it's crazy thinking a perfect family like that, all of a sudden something crazy like that would just happen out of the blue, you know? Like, I would never think my dad would, like, he was a police officer, and, like, you just wouldn't think that he would get arrested. And so we bailed him out, and it was just, like, this long process and stuff. And when he got back, he said these words to me, and he was like, I will never leave you again, and it will never happen again. And I really took that because I was young, and I was, like, a kid, and, you know, everything people say, you believe it. So he was like, I'm never going to do that again. And, of course, it happened again. And I just had trust issues with him. And I really, like, I hated him. I really did. And I don't know. Like, I went through breaking free, like, 3 times. And every time, like, I was like, oh, it's going to work. And then I would still have that hate for him. And I wrote, like, so many letters to him saying how much I just didn't want to talk to him, saying how much I never wanted to speak to him again. And I know, like, as a father, that would hurt you, but, like, he hurt me so much that, like, I couldn't, like, think about talking to him again. So the first year I went to camp, I was just thinking about that. And my sister Erica and London were singing. And Erica came up to me, and she was just hugging me, and she was like, I wish I could take all your pain away. And those words really, like, got to me. And we just prayed together, and it got better, of course. But every single time at camp, you know, you just cry, you let everything out. And this year at camp, when Ray was praying for me, I don't know if he's here. Is Ray here? Oh, yeah, Ray. I love you, man. He was praying for me, and sorry, I'm taking forever. He was praying for me, and he was just saying, I have to surrender it all. And he was like, he was like shaking me, and I like, he was just like shaking me, and he was like, you have to surrender it all. And I was just like, okay. I was like, okay, both my hands are up, and I was like, okay, I'm surrendering it. He was like, no, Caitlin, surrender it all. And I couldn't like control myself at all. I was just like, okay. And I just fell to the floor, and it was like crazy. I've never experienced like anything like it. I started shaking, and I was like falling to the floor. And then my face was like to the floor, and I was just praying out loud, and I was like screaming, and I was like, Jesus, like forgive me, like I forgive my dad, and like all this stuff. And it was crazy. Like I literally feel no hate for him anymore. And it's like, yeah.
Okay. That's a good word. That's a good word. That's a good word. Oh, you make me nervous. Mr. Elijah, okay, come on, get up here, Elijah. Come on, come on. Come on, come on. Come on. Don't make me take this mic away from you. Don't make me take the mic away. What's your testimony? What's your story?
Okay, when I was little, my dad and mom were, like, in and out of my life. Okay. As I was saying, is that they've been out of my life. My dad been to jail like 3-4 times for doing drugs, and my mom doing drugs, the same thing. And I really never knew my mom as much because she was not as a mother towards me. But then once I had a lot of hate for them, and I didn't want to talk to them. But last week, I went to go visit my dad, and it was fun. To the pool. Yeah. Of course, I would jump and hit him. Not seeing my mom there because my mom was doing really well over there where my dad was. They were going to think about getting back together as a family. But then my mom did a lot of wrong stuff to him, left him at the hospital because and then they took his stuff, they took everything. Yeah. And then finally seeing my dad was the best thing to see. And as my dad went to jail, my mom, my grandma, and my grandpa took me in, me and my brothers and sister in. And every day I pray for my dad and my mom, even though I hate my mom still. But I'm getting there.
Yeah. That's good.
But I know, because when I went up to camp, like, I was alright, but deep down inside, I felt like nobody loved me as much, and that my mom and dad would never be in my life, but my mom never been in my life, no. Now I get to see my dad, and now we're talking to him on the phone. It's sad not having a dad and mom. Like, my grandma and grandpa took me in. And then seeing on the first night, I busted out with tears. And seeing my cousin, John. Once I seen him bust out with tears. Don't lie.
Get him.
I just couldn't help it. And then he's like, I would never forget this. He told me that never forget that I'm your cousin and I love you. I love you too. And then now, since I came down, the demons just tried to come and take me, because that night that we came, I was feeling sick. I couldn't even get up from my bed. But then I just came to church because I wanted to.
Yeah.
Nothing could have stopped me. My grandma even said, you should stay home. I told her, no, I'm going to go because I want to.
Yeah.
And that now I know that I have you guys and my cousins that love me.
He said it. He said, I'm getting there. I'm getting there. Everybody in this whole place, they say, I'm getting there. You're not there yet, but you're getting there. All right. Oh, man, there's a group of people. Oh, snaps. All right, all right. Let me... Hey, Mr. Adelano, get up here, bro. Hold on. I know. I know everybody loves everybody. And because you and all you guys... Dude! You're up here. He's up here. He's shy, but he's going to say something really good. What's up, man?
So, I came here to camp very broken. I've been bullied a lot since kindergarten. And people would call me lots of names that I would start to believe. Weak, ugly, and other stuff. And I would carry a lot of anger towards my family, mostly my brother, because they would compare me to him a lot, saying that he's way better than I am, stronger than I am, buffer than me, that I'm just a nobody. And I would cry every night, and I would go through suicide, and I would try to cut myself, but I never went through with it. And my parents just never knew why I was so abusive to everybody in my family, because I had no other way to take it out. And my parents would try to figure it out, and of course we would have our talks, and my big brother Sean would have his talks with me. But I just been carrying it for about like forever. So when I went to camp, I was crying a lot, and my brother, he came to hug me, everyone prayed for me, and after camp, I felt new, like very new, like I'm listening to more Christian music, and I feel more happy, and I know I've always, my relationship with God has always been up and down a lot. I would try to find him. But sometimes I never would think he was real. But then that night, I had went into the woods, kind of like by myself. And I heard a voice calling my name in a whisper, which no one else was around me. So I knew it was God, which... because no one else was around me. So after camp, I just felt free, really free. And I know God loves me a lot, and you guys are my family, because even sometimes here, I felt like no one cared for me here. I only had a few friends, but that was okay. And sometimes when I had problems, I would try to do things my own way. And I would try to find advice from my friends too. But I've been starting to pray to God, and he has answered my prayers, and I am very happy. Well, anything that any people call you, just don't believe it, because you're worth more to God. These people aren't even God, so who cares?
Proud of you, man. It's a good man right there. Good man. All right. Okay, let me do this. Okay, I'm working my over. You two? Oh, my gosh. Tell me where they're doing next door so I know how much time I have. All right, let me work my way over here. Miss Esmeralda, get up here. Ezzy. Mer. Elda. All right, kid.
Hi, guys. Okay, so going up to camp was, like, horrible. Like, the day before camp, that Thursday, I was packing up, and I was so negative about everything. I was everything but happy. And, like, I was like, this is going to be the worst. I was packing up my clothes. I was like, you know what? I'm not ready for this. What am I going to get out of it? You know, like, I was so just negative about everything. And it was weird because I signed up to go. So I was, like, somewhat excited, but at the same time, I was, like, doubting that anything was going to happen. And I was on the waiting list, and my friend Beth, she was like, Are you going to camp? And I was like, no. So as far as I know, I'm not going to camp because I'm on the waiting list. She was like, okay, let me make some arrangements. And then next thing you know, she's just like, guess who's going to camp? And I was like, ooh. And she's just like, you. And I was like, what the, woo. And she was just like, I was like, okay, what do I have to do? What do I have to pack up? What do I, you know? And she's just like, I'll give you a packing list. And I was like, okay, for sure. How much money? And she's just like, it's paid for, it's taken care of. I was like, bruh, oh my gosh, like, that was amazing. I was like, no, like, that's not possible, like, that's a lot of money, like, you know. And she, I was like, do you even want me to help? Like, I'll pitch in for, like, dollars and stuff. She's just like, no, it's taken care of. I was like, you're the best. And I was like, who paid? She's like, Jesus. And I was like, woo. But like Jesus put certain people, like, in my way to, like, make that happen. So going up there, I was so negative. I was like, trying to avoid it. I fell asleep on the way over there. I got there. I was like, where's my luggage? This is, like, a big old pile of people. I want to go to my cabin already. And, like, I was, like, kind of nervous as to who was in my cabin because I knew a couple people, but I didn't know all of them. And I got to make more friends. And it was really – I didn't have friends at church. Like, I came – coming back from camp, that's the, like, exact year that I came. So I've been coming here for a year, and I had no friends, and then I got some friends, and then that went downhill. And then, like, going to camp, everything amazing happened. First night, I had, like, I was so restrained. I was so closed up. I was so sad, like, and I felt it. I felt, like, a fire inside me, and all freshman year, I dealt with depression. Full-on depression, like, everything. And okay, yeah, so I went through a depression, and I felt this sophomore year I was finding myself, you know, growing up, teenager, yeah, you gotta find yourself. And I was finding myself, and it was amazing. Like, I grew up so much, I've learned so much and stuff, life lessons and stuff, but at the end of the day, I felt a cold black hole in me. Like, I was just like, what is it? I feel empty. Going up to camp second night, I felt a fire. Like, the Holy Spirit was a fire inside of me. Like, I was crying. I was pouring it all out. I was so, like, I was really, like, concentrated in praying. And I was like, if it was like everything was just like I was just in that. I was just praying for everything, for everyone, for all my weight, and it all went away. And, like, I was hoping, I saw Pastor Joe praying for a couple people in front of me, and I was hoping he was coming towards my way because he knows a little bit of what I was going through. And he kind of went this way, and I was like, man, no, you know, like, come back. And then all of a sudden I was alone, and, like, a person that I was by was, like, kind of behind me, and I was like, oh, man, you know, I felt so awkward. And, like, Pastor Eddie, he comes, and he, like, puts his hands on my head, and he was just like, you know, like, he was, like, praying, and, like, I don't know how to explain it, like, he was just praying. He was saying all the right things, all the right times, like, every emotion I was passing, he was, like, clearing it up. He was just like, check, you know, like, and I was like, whoa. And then all of a sudden, like, I gave out, and I was, like, I fell to my, like, knees, and I was, like, ah! It just all came out, and I was, like, crying my eyeballs out. And, like, I came back that night, back to my cabin after that night, and we had, like, a devotion kind of thing, and I felt so happy and so free, and, like, I made so many friends, and I've regained friendships back, and, like, everything just happened for a reason. And yeah, so like this camp was a success. I never thought that was going to happen, like from having like such a negative mindset to like the most positive, most happy mindset ever. Yeah. So.
Thank you, Miss Esmeralda. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, man. All right. We've been waiting for you for a little bit. Get up here, girl. Come on, kid.
So I went up to camp with a lot of anger and fear because I had a jacked up past and my parents were divorced and my dad put a lot of fear on me and I just didn't feel like anything was going to happen and my dad tried saying, putting me down that I shouldn't go to camp. But I was like, no, that's the devil trying to get to me. I was like, no, I'm going to go. And I'm so glad I went because when I went up there, I felt the fear and anxiety leave my chest and that weight was gone. And he put a fire in my heart. And I know that I'm loved now because before I used to want to end things and I would hurt myself. And he just took that pain away and I feel so good now. And I don't want to do that anymore. And I feel loved and I feel worth it. And I'm not insecure. And I just know that I'm loved. And I'm so glad that he's there for me. So.
Thank you. If you guys want to grab a seat where you're at, you can. I know some of you guys are probably waiting. Just crisscross applesauce. Stay in the mood. We're not done yet. Hey, John, You had your hand up, bro. Are you next? I need some dudes up here, dude. And you're a dude. You already had your brother. Hey, Elijah. Man, it's like in the family. This is beautiful. Oh. Just say, I don't know. You have something? You had your hand up.
I've always had the perfect family. Not a pastor's dad or mother, but still strict. And like, I just felt like a disappointment to my dad and my mom. I mean, yeah, like I was basically that one kid that comes home from school getting in trouble. Not every day, but you know, I feel like you're better than me, first of all. Don't let nobody put you down because you're my brother. Only I do that. You know? And my cousin, too, but, like, I just felt like a disappointment to my dad because, you know, that kid always coming home, getting in trouble. You know, my mom's like, who are the friends you're hanging out with? I'd be saying they're not bad, but they are. I'd be like, oh, this kid's good, but this just that one kid, you know? Always that one kid you'll introduce your family to, you know? So, sometimes even at the church, I would just feel like a disappointment. Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of friends, but I just felt like invisible. But going to camp, I cried my eyes out like there was a river, like going, like I was like, but the sad part, people be like, bro, you got feelings? Because like I'm known as this tough guy or something. Like I'd be like, that's messed up. But like even one thing that got me is a lot of you know my brother Sean, right? That day he said he was going to commit suicide at 13. And, you know, just he was picked on, bullied a lot at school. You know, he just, in kindergarten, he just wore these shoes and kids would make fun of him. Like, ah, those are girl shoes. Ah, cheap Walmart shoes. But, like, as a kid, for that, I would have so much anger, like, just punching my pillow. Like, how could you do that to my brother? But you know what? Look, you know what? He doesn't care. Look where he's at now, you know, going to San Francisco, filming for the, you know, for churches, you know. He's already engaged with Lolladay. Shout out to you guys, you know. So, you know, I just look at him as my role, like, that's my only role model, but biggest one, the man upstairs, you know. So, even Pastor, like, I think he's a pastor, Donnie, Like, that dude would pray, like, speaking in tongues, like, I don't know what he's saying, but, like, I'm just raising, and, like, I feel like a new man, like, after camp, because I'm one of those kids that would be at this, like, stands, just, yeah, like, well, service is going on, I'm just standing there, but now I'm just here, you know, with my hands up, like, never before, and I don't care what anybody thinks, but, like, it was kind of a transition, because there's these cool guys that be looking at me, like, because, you know, cool guys be like, oh, this dude worshiping God. But then there's other people that are worshiping God looking at me like, why aren't you doing it? So I'm kind of looking back and forth like, do I or not? So, but you know what? I just worship him now. Like, I don't really care. Like, even if my dad wasn't here, if it was a Father's Day, he'd be the one I go to. So, yeah, that's it, really.
You guys are killing me, Smalls. Pastor Michelle said we gotta cut this out. Dude, you guys talk too much. This is not my fault. You talk way too much. Look, and Mr. Guerrero, where you been all my life? Oh, man. Hey, your parents are gonna kill me. I get out late again. This is all your guys' fault. Man, hey. We got another Sunday night. You guys, is it because you guys don't like to hear me preach? You guys want to tell all your stories? Is that what it is? You better shut up, all you. Could it be because God is too good a God? God is too good. Look, I say this. God is too good to me. He is too good, and he's too good to you, and God is too good to you. And you know what? When somebody is too good to you, you got to tell a story. Oh, man. All right, you sit down. You can share your story this weekend, and you can share your story, and you can share your story, and who else was there? You can share your story this weekend, and Pastor Richard will never preach again. Dang, I'm going to find somebody else to preach to. I'm going to start preaching to my wife, and that's it. And here's what we got to do. I think we can, we didn't even get through all the songs. I think we can agree on something. Everybody in this room's jacked up. Here's the story, is that everybody has a story, right? You would be surprised the pain or the issues that the person next to you goes through. Because I'll tell you this, your story you're not alone in this. Everybody in this room has something. Whether you come from the perfect family, a great family, a pastor's family, look, whether you come from the hood and you don't know your dad or anybody, you're just going through the system, house to house. We all have issues. Now, the only difference between the issues you have and the issues the person next to you may have is Jesus Christ. Because the answer, you know, the only reason camp works is because people go up to camp to meet Jesus. See, the only reason church works is because somebody gets introduced to Jesus Christ at church. See, that's the difference between one person's issues and another person's issues. So the question is this. We know we all have issues. Do you have Jesus? In your life right now, are you living for God? Are you living for yourself? Are you trying to figure your problems out on your own? Or are you trying to figure your problems out through running to Jesus Christ? That's how you know. And look, in this place, I just got to shut this thing down because we've heard too many good things. Can you believe? I need to ask today is, I don't want to know if you're going to church. I don't want to know if you're a nice person because, look, nice people got issues too. I don't want to know how many verses you memorize out of the Bible. That's nice. That's cool. I don't want to know how long you've pray. That's nice. That's cool. I don't want to know how much you believe in God. Hey, that's great. That's wonderful. You believe in God, but what are you really doing about it? Because I know people that believe in Jesus, go to church, but they don't know nothing about God, and they're the farthest thing from Him. Your mom can make you go to church the next 30 years. Yeah, she could, and you could still be far away from God. Do you have Jesus Christ in your life? Jesus said, if you want to get to heaven, if you want real life, you've got to be born again, which means you've made a decision. You have made a decision to give your everything to Him. Let's be real. He already gave everything to you. Now it's your turn. God chose you. Now you need to choose him. So from the front to back, left to right, if you're playing games, if you're messing around, if you know you're far from God, if you have everything but Jesus, then today I want you to make a decision to say, Pastor Richard, I need Jesus. Pastor Richard, I want to go to heaven. So if that's you in this place, and you need to give your heart to God, you need God to change your life. On a count of three, I want you to get your hand up. Ready? One, two, three. Who in this place needs to get right with God? Where are you at? Where are you at? Where are you at? Who needs to get right with God? Who needs Jesus in their life in this place? Where are you? Thank you. Right there. One person. Thank you. Two. Two people. Who else in this place? You've been running from God, but now you need to run to God. I got another person over here. Oh, I got you. I got you. I got you. Three people. You have every... Look, you're a nice person, but nice is not going to cut it. You need Jesus. Your life is jacked up. You need Jesus. You've never done... You don't know if you go to heaven. You need Jesus. Who are you in this place? Three, four people. Who else in this place? Who else in this place? If one of these stories was you today and you need to give your heart to Jesus, you need him to fix you, who is that? We all need a bit of fixing, guys. Who else in this place? Three, four people. Who else in this place? All right, let's give God a praise. Let's give him a praise. Hey, all three of you guys over here. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to, if you got your hand up, or you know you should have, get up real quick, and it's just right over here to Armando. Get up out your spot. Get up out your spot. Bring a friend. Bring a friend. And I want you, Armando, go get him. Go get him. Armando, we got Jasmine. Go back there. Ray Ray. Dang, Jess, get back there. Let's give him a big round of applause. They're going to pray with you. Just take a couple seconds. Go ahead, follow them right over here to the left, and you'll be good to go. Everybody else stand up. Everybody else stand up. Hey. We're gonna shut this thing down. They're gonna play a song. We're gonna pray. We're gonna shout real loud. This Sunday night, Next Level Night, if you got a message, a testimony, come hit me up. We're gonna share it again. And then, sorry guys, I'm gonna probably end up preaching again next week. So I apologize, but that's the way it goes. Let's pray. Really lift your hands up to heaven. Father, we thank you for every person in this room. God, we ask you, bless them, lead them. God, I'm a God. God, I thank you that suicide has no place in this room. God, I thank you, Lord, that depression has no right over their lives. God, I thank you, Father God, that unrealistic expectations have to leave in this place. And Father, that the name of Jesus is above every other name. And God, as we close this out, as we wrap up with this song, Father God, we are declaring, because we know we have hope, and we want to give it out, that the Inland Empire shall be safe. Hey, you guys.